Here we are once again at Back to School at St. Henry. I'm Kevin Sandler. I want to thank the St. Henry Bank, Hall Brothers, Cooper Farms, along with Kalp Pharmacy, Hemelgarn Marathon, Bender Electric, Carriage Works, Shockman Lumber, and Tom's Construction. Another wonderful day of guests here. We'll start with school counselor Julie Overman to kick things off. And Julie, nice to see you again. It's been a couple of years. But we're glad you made it to see us. If you would share with us a bit about your background and, you know, how it is that you became a counselor here at St. Henry.
Okay. Well, I spent 12 years in the classroom as a Spanish teacher. And then 5 years ago, I became a high school counselor here at St. Henry. And I have a total of 17 years in the field of education, and I'm enjoying every bit of it.
So what made you decide to do the transition from teaching Spanish to being a counselor?
I love helping the students in various ways. I love seeing them grow as obstacles arise and or their careers blossom. So I just enjoy getting hands-on with them and helping them get to where they want to be in life.
And which grades are you a counselor for?
I'm a counselor for grades 9 through 12 here at the high school.
Okay, those are some critical years. Of course,
Absolutely. All
years are important, but
of course.
I guess we'd have to call 9 through 12 crunch time.
Yes,
for sure.
Because you're
getting to the end. So what are some of the things you might help them with? Is it anything from, some stress concerns to, you know, putting together their graduation requirements?
Right, everything from mental health situations, which arise at all different varying occasions, to scheduling, to small group sessions. I start with the freshmen as they navigate from junior high to high school. State testing, AP exams, a varying realm of job duties. So every day looks different.
I guess, but that part of it's probably nice. It's not the same.
Correct.
Thing. Yep. What time does the day usually start for you?
For me, usually I'm here by 7:30, and students can schedule meetings with me from 7:30 till whenever I'm available. I'll stay after school to help them. Every schedule is different. We just work together to make it happen.
Yeah, and when they request to see you, is that what a lot of it is? I need more credits. I'm not sure what I'm doing. I'm not passing this class. I can't navigate everything. There's just too much going on.
Some of it's scheduling related. Some of it's college credit plus. That's a whole other element to their schedules these days. Some of it's maybe mental health situations that they need to discuss privately. So it really varies. And when in doubt, they know they can come and see me.
One thing I've noticed, certainly since maybe we were in school, is that it's now kind of deemed as okay to talk about mental health situations. I know there's still somewhat of a stigma out there, but not like it was, right?
Right. Yeah, I think it's important that the kids know that they have a safe place to talk. You know, and I always say, remember, you're not hurting yourself. Someone's not hurting you, or you're not hurting somebody else. This room is a safe place to have a conversation, but also, you know, it's important to keep the parents involved as needed.
True. And I'm sure sometimes you even get the conversation of, hey, how do I tell my parents this
Absolutely.
Or that? And
yeah.
and you can tell them, well, this is how you do it. And you assure them, no, they're not going to, you know, never talk to you again or something, right?
And it's always great having that relationship with the parents so that we can work together to help the student get to where they need to be or want to be.
Over the years, too, have you kind of had that satisfaction of watching a student graduate and in your mind you're thinking, I worked with them, they didn't think they were going to be able to do this, but you got them there.
Yes, it is neat to see them grow and change throughout high school. You know, my job ends kind of after graduation, and I always hope that they'll come and say hello to me or see me in public, and I wonder if they ever got to that final goal that they have. So I'm always telling them, please reach out if you need anything
along
the way.
Send an email.
Yes,
right?
Absolutely.
It's not like it used to be. It's a lot easier. And do you get a few now?
Oh, absolutely. I just received one a week ago from a previous student, and it just brought joy to my face because she's loving Ohio State and doing the things that she wants to do.
And you know what's neat about that is it takes them a minute to email you, and it's probably hard to describe what that means to you.
Oh, yeah. You know, it reminds you of why you do what you do. You know, every day is not always easy, but those little positive notes and seeing them succeed is like, I knew you could do it this whole time. You just had to believe in yourself.
That's for sure. And that's, I think sometimes people think that adults are just saying that, but no, you knew, right? Maybe they didn't, but you said, I knew you could do this.
Absolutely. We've been through life, a time or two. So just having that experience and having someone that believes in them, I think goes a long way.
And also, you know, you talked about maybe some emails, but do you get the occasional person that'll come up to you, whether you're shopping, doing whatever, and say, "Do you remember me?"
Oh, yes. I always know where I was at in my life, whether I'm called Senora or Mrs. Overman. So if somebody's calling me Senora, I know it was my time at Marion Local, and it always brings a smile to my face. And then when it's Mrs. Overman, I'm like, okay, that's at St. Henry, just because of my transition in career.
And we talked to you over there.
Absolutely.
Back then. Yep. So, you know, it's interesting. We have followed your career. We've been doing back to school longer than I guess I realized, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
That's pretty neat. And also, you know, when you, again, talk about being a counselor, talk about maybe how things have changed over the years, or people might not remember, like College Credit Plus, for example, for people that are of a certain age, that was not a thing when they were going to school.
Right. I always tell the parents that, you know, there's so many options for students these days, but it's okay for them to be a kid and take high school classes, and they're in extracurriculars. There's a lot on their plate, and we wonder why sometimes that they are so stressed out. So that's always a good reminder, and College Credit Plus now gives them so many more options. We host a lot of College Credit Plus in the high school with Mrs. Hilsman and Mr. Mestemaker, and then we do have students take coursework online as well.
That's obviously important, but a good thing for them, because if they can do the work, why not? It seems like this was something that has always been a great idea and probably should have been implemented a long time ago.
Yeah, it definitely has its purpose, and students have to be ready for it, because it is a lot of self-discipline and responsibility on the student. There's been positive outcomes and there's been negative outcomes along the way. I just remind the students that this is a college course, and I don't know the professors. I don't know your workload. I just get the end result.
That's for sure. And I know it's daunting, you know, when mm-hmm. you think, oh, college, wow, this is, but on the other hand, it is a lot of fun to get a professor and, you know, and how they teach the class. And while it's education for sure, it is different than high school.
Absolutely.
And that's a good thing, right?
Yeah, it's a good transition to get their feet wet. I do think it's important to remind our mind isn't developing any faster. So when you're 16, 17 years old, it's okay to take the high school classes too, to set you up for whatever you may have for your future.
That's true. Everybody at their own pace.
Absolutely.
And I would also, so when you talked about the time management, there are so many extracurriculars that are in school, stuff that's not in school, right? Maybe
right.
some people take dance or mm-hmm. something. And then I'm sure over the years, there's that difficult conversation of, listen, it's great that you want to do all these things, but let's be realistic here.
Absolutely. I think it's important to say, you know, if you are a full-time college student, would you have all these other extracurriculars at that time in your life? You probably wouldn't. Maybe a part-time job, but not the athletics or the marching band or the choir, drama club, whatever it may be. You know, you graduate high school and you go to college, some of those things, you know, are done. So it's important to remind them that that's a heavy course load if you're taking 3-4 college classes on top of your high school graduation requirements. So it's very important to, I think, remind them of just being level-headed and having some college work, but not too much, because we don't want their mental health to suffer from that as well.
It actually seems like, you know, in a sense, it's like, you know, that proverbial candle with its both ends. You're going to have a problem if you keep doing that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Or thought about if you have a you know, like you're moving, or it's spring cleaning and you're picking stuff up and you're bent over all the time sweeping, and then your back is killing you. Well, same thing. If you've been running nonstop for a week, you might wonder why on the weekends you feel really wiped out. It's because you overused your brain, right?
Yeah. Or in just understanding the time management and the self-discipline, like you might have to say no to something if you plan to take these college courses, because the demand is different for each course.
And sometimes I had a, speaking of that, I actually had a professor once who said, life is a series of trade-offs. You know, you might really like being in a lot of these activities, but do you want those College Credit Plus classes? Because if you do, this is the way you're going to have to work it out. You're going to have to trade some things off.
Yes, and I think it's important. That's why I always tell the students, it's okay to be a high school kid. It's okay to participate in those extracurricular activities and take high school classes. We have awesome teachers here at St. Henry who can prepare them just as well as any college class can prepare them. They just might not get the college credit. and they will be just as successful, if not more.
It also seems, even as an adult, you do have to prioritize, because you might have a lot of things you really love doing, but if you spread yourself too thin, you may not truly enjoy any of them like you should be, right?
Correct. And I just think it's important for the students to live in the moment and not be worrying about 5, 6, 7 years, because it could change. Their interests could change. So it has a place. It's not for everybody. But it can work to some students' benefits.
And probably don't be in a hurry to grow up.
Correct. Yep. We're all going to be an adult.
Yes. And it's very overrated. you think, oh, I can't wait to grow up. And no, you have, let's say, adulthood is what? Mortgage, bills. Jobs.
Mm-hmm. Insurance.
Insurance. Mm-hmm. And we'll throw in some lower back pain just for the fun of it.
There you go.
Yeah. Don't do it. Don't be in a hurry to get
right.
there. You'll get there when you...
And I think it's important for the kids to know all of the life experiences that they experience in high school help them become who they are.
They do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you do remember stuff. And you do remember teachers randomly. I'm sure as a teacher, you probably had those moments where you thought, are they really listening to me? And it turns out they were.
Absolutely. Yep.
All right. If you're just tuning in, this is Back to School at St. Henry. We're talking with a high school counselor, Julie Overman, who is with us and is kind of reflecting on her career. You started, though, you know, as you said, as a Spanish teacher. Now, how did that go? What got you into that?
My actual high school Spanish teacher had inspired me to be a Spanish teacher. Her name is Amanda Werman. So I credit a lot of why I became what I did for her. I saw a new way of life. It was a new class for me. And I was like, this is what I want to do. And growing up in a small town, spreading my wings and living abroad really taught me a lot about who I was as well.
So where did you live abroad?
I lived in Alcalá de Henares, Spain.
And how long was that?
I lived there for 6 months and then actually went back in 2016 to do College Credit Plus work when I was teaching at the high school level.
And so people understand, for you, Spanish, you're fluent, right? That is your second language, right?
Yes, that is my second language, and I'm very passionate about it. I had a student reach out to me a year ago, and she talked about a trip she took, and that's special to me as well, because I was like, oh, if I could just implant a little bit of that life experience too, that's awesome.
I imagine also you had a different experience because you understood what was being said. You did not have to rely on Google Translate or whatever they have. Now you could fully kind of immerse yourself in the culture.
Yeah, I think that was a huge part of my transition becoming fluent. If I would have never lived there, I wouldn't have become fluent.
What was it like in Spain as opposed to here in the United States? What were just some of the differences?
I would say just, you know, the day-to-day culture. Using public transportation, people out and about all the time. It's just a different kind of living. You know the times of day everybody's going to be outside, having a cup of coffee, the neighborhood, the older gentlemen playing games in the park in the evenings. It's different. People don't stay inside and stay at their house. They're out and about.
Sounds like something we could learn from that,
yeah,
right?
I think that social interaction, too, is very important for students these days as well.
And especially as spring is coming.
Absolutely.
I understand when it's winter, you kind of want to get off work and I'm not coming back out until tomorrow morning. It's
right.
Bad outside. But once it gets nice, right, you want to be out there.
Absolutely. Fresh air does us all some good.
And also for you, with the Spanish that you speak, do you find that sometimes you will stream some shows in Spanish just to either enjoy the shows or just kind of keep your skills sharpened?
I have done that before. I listen to a lot of different types of music. I try to keep in touch with old friends as well. I don't want to lose it.
Yeah. And how about also in your household? Are you the only Spanish speaking person, or have you been able to pass that on?
I am the only fluent Spanish-speaking person. I mean, my children and my husband know a few words, but we don't communicate in Spanish at all.
Okay. Well, at least you're holding up the...
There you go.
And also a skill to learn, perhaps, because after all, they offer Spanish here at St.
Henry's.
So people might be listening.
Yeah.
And what you can get from it. I mean, first and foremost, that could be a career. I mean, being a translator or just having that skill can make you very valuable somewhere.
It can, and that's what I always remind the students as they're looking at their schedule. Language has its place for sure in whatever career you may have. And I always have students that come back and say, I wish I would have paid more attention. And you don't realize it until you're in the workforce. But it is a great skill to acquire. Yes, it does take a lot of hard work, just like many other things. but it can be very valuable.
In addition to that, you talked about, you know, some of the music, which, let's be honest, right? That kind of Latin salsa beat, right, or whatever. What great music, yeah, first of all.
It's fun to teach the different culture because there's many different Hispanic cultures out there. So that was always another great part of being in the classroom, too.
In addition to that, we have to talk about the food.
Oh, yes,
right?
I mean, of course.
You must have had some good food abroad, right?
Yes, it was great food. A lot of natural foods. And the coffee was fabulous as well.
I imagine it would be. Mm-hmm. Yes, that's pretty neat. To fly to Spain, by the way, how long does that take?
Well, depending on the wind direction, it's about 7 hours, hours. No.
Did you fly out of Columbus or?
Yeah, depends on the trip that I took. Columbus, Detroit.
Yeah. Whatever you had to do. That's pretty neat. It's not every day that I get to talk to somebody who went to Spain.
Yes.
for that long. So.
Yeah. Nope. It was a great experience. I really do recommend the study abroad or the travel abroad opportunities.
Yeah, you can do that. And you know, that's common around the world. We certainly have exchange students that come here,
yep,
right?
Mm-hmm.
Probably some in the school.
Don't have any this year, but we have had some in the past.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, very interesting how, you know, you can do that and the benefit.
Yeah,
you, right?
I think it teaches everybody a lot.
Mm-hmm. That is for sure. And also for you too, when it comes to listening to Spanish or even speaking, do you just pretty much dive into it fluently, or do you still have that moment where you're doing a little translating in your mind?
Not typically. I mean, on occasion, if I'm not thinking in the language, but it does help that I do interact with some Spanish-speaking students, so I can keep that communication going and fluid.
That's pretty neat. Another thing too, people may want to know is, they may think Spanish is Spanish and not understand that depending on what country you visit, it may not be the exact same Spanish, and people wouldn't understand each other like you think they would.
Yeah, that is correct. Yeah. In Spain, obviously, is the Castellano Spanish. And in Latin America, it's a varying dialects depending on where you are. So that is something else a lot of Spanish teachers do teach in the classroom as well.
That's pretty neat. Yeah, and I'm sure the idea for anybody is, you know, learn a foreign language if you can,
I think,
you know?
Yeah, it's not a high school graduation requirement, but it's highly encouraged if students are wanting to further their education at a four-year institution.
Yeah, definitely. And you know what's neat about knowing more than one language? I mean, around the world, whatever the native tongue is, a lot of times they're teaching English, mm-hmm, right?
Yes, they are teaching English. And a lot of the colleges, depending on your major, want to see that you've had some form of high school background in a diverse language or diverse culture in order to be able to communicate, whether it's business or in the medical field.
Yeah, very nice. You know, I want to thank you again for coming. I'm sure, you know, you certainly, as we have March on the horizon, you're probably starting to hear from some students that are realizing graduation is soon, right?
Yes, graduation is soon, yes. Our goal is here to make sure they're set up before their senior year and they're all passing their classes, which we have excellent students, so they're all always doing well. Yes, and now is the time of year where we start our course requests for next year.
That's true, and that's probably also helps with anxiety, you know, to leave this year and think, I don't know what I'm going to get into next year. You can maybe give them a picture, right?
Yep, we have a lot of great programs. We're working currently with the Mercer County ESC Career Navigator, Sandy Holdheide, for our Junior In Demand Learning event. So our juniors will get the opportunity to go to Wright State Lake Campus here in the beginning of March and do some hands-on learning activities with varying careers, to kind of see if this is really what they want to do in their future.
Yeah, and we say hi, Sandy, if you're listening, by the way. She's been a guest with us a few times. And even a nice, you know, mention to the Lake Campus how fortunate, you know, this community is. And not every community has a college right in town like we do, you know?
Right, and we are grateful for them allowing us to use that space while they're on spring break, too.
Excellent. Again, I want to thank you for dropping by. We got a great, you know, show, you know, planned for, you know, today. We're going to, in a moment, we're going to meet, we're going to talk book club podcast with Monica Worley and eighth graders. We're also going to talk, you know, about the St. Henry Middle School Student Council. We have Mrs. Reinhardt, Mrs. Reisner, and it looks like we have at least four students there. And then Mr. Rosenbach, the high school principal. And then we're going to talk about Redskin Way and community outreach. So, again, I want to thank Tom's Construction along with Shockman Lumber. Thank you to Carriage Works, Bender Electric, Himmelgarn Marathon, and Kalp Pharmacy. Thank you to Cooper Farms, Hall Brothers, and the St. Henry Bank. And we will take a break and come back with more Back to School from St. Henry on WCSM Radio. And we welcome you back once again. It's Back to School at St. Henry, and I want to thank Tom's Construction, Shockman Lumber, Carriage Works, and Bender Electric. So segment two, we meet Monica Worley, right? And also some eighth graders. We're going to talk about a book club, podcast. So Monica, first of all, thanks for coming. Good to see you.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
So let's begin by hearing about what brings you here today and you know, what it is that that we're going to talk about.
Well, in eighth grade language arts, we incorporate book clubs into the independent reading. And what it does is it gets kids, they read books together, any books that they choose. And then we do projects with the books. As they're reading the book, they meet together and talk about the book. And then at the end, they do a project. And our last project for the book we read in December was a podcast. So today I have three groups of kids who did a podcast. They have a script and they're all about a book. And that's what we're going to be doing today.
All right. So I guess we will begin with the first couple kids. And we probably have, what, about four more?
We have two more groups out there.
Two more groups. So, okay. So group one, we'll call
this. All right. Here we go.
Share with us, you know, kind of what's your names and, you know, what you're going to kind of talk about today.
I'm Ross, and we have a podcast about Life of Pi by Jan Martel. And we just wanted to commentate on how the book was.
Yep. Yeah, I'm looking forward to that. And you are?
I'm Braxton here.
Braxton, hi.
Yeah, like he said, we're talking about Life of Pi, and we named it The Tiger and the Tide.
All right. Let's hear, you know, kind of more about that, how you kind of came up with that and how people can hear this.
So we came up with our title by just thinking the book mainly is about a 16-year-old conflicted, spiritually conflicted boy who lives in India, and he has some troubles while his family zoo is shut down and all of the animals are being transported away. Mm-hmm. And on this journey, the ship that him and all the animals are on begins to sink, and it kind of leads to a lot of very interesting situations.
Yeah, do you find, and go ahead, please, yeah.
And this book takes us through the vast Pacific Ocean where Pi is on a lifeboat with a 450-pound Bengal tiger and a few other way castaway accomplices.
Excellent, excellent. And, you know, for both of you, I want to make sure that you got everything out that you wanted to talk about. But we need to remind people, too, if they want to hear the podcast, can anyone hear that?
I'm not really sure.
That's fair enough.
We have it posted on our website okay. at this time.
Not at this time, but you're kind of working on it. Well, good. Yeah. Good deal. And so this is our first group to talk to. And are we kind of ready for the second to come in? Or? Yeah, we'll
and
do that. While you guys go right ahead. Go ahead, please.
All right. Starting from the top. Hello, everybody. I'm Ross, and welcome to the Tiger and the Tide podcast. Today, we're talking about Life of Pi by Jan Martel.
And my name is Braxton. And I think this book is a very spiritual and didactic book about the troubles of being an adult with a twist of survival in it. And our group has some key insights and opinions to present.
We'll discuss the book's themes, characters, writing style, and whether or not we recommend it to you. So let's dive in. Life of Pi tells the story of Piseen Malitor Patel, a spiritually conflicted 16-year-old that has some troubles while his family zoo is shut down and all of the animals are transported away. The ship Pi and his family are on has some troubles that cause the whole thing to sink.
This book takes us through the vast Pacific Ocean during a fight for survival by Pi, who's accompanied by a 450-pound Bengal tiger and a few other castaway accomplices. Well, we won't give away too much of the book, but we'll go over some key events.
Let's start with the themes. One of the most important themes we noticed is spirituality. What did you all think about how the author handled this theme?
I thought it was really weird how, like, Pi could practice so many different religions because, like, there's Christianity where you can, like, pray wherever you want, and then there's, like, Hinduism where you have to have a mat, pray towards a direction and everything.
I agree on that. I thought it was very odd how he kind of went through every option for religion that he could.
Mm-hmm. Now let's talk about the characters. Pi, the protagonist, really stood out to me because he took action and made it a point to survive, even with doubts about his family, safety, and his sense of identity. I think that his determination to stay alive in such a tough situation is truly inspiring.
How about the writing style? I thought the author's use of descriptive language and details was really effective. What do you think?
Oh, yeah. Especially when they're out in the middle of the Pacific Ocean and he's describing all the fish colors in the sky, it feels like you're really there.
Yeah, I thought Martel really did a good job of making the reader be in the book.
Mm-hmm.
All right, it's time to get personal. What do you guys think about the book? Did you like it or not so much? Personally, I thought that the pacing was very choppy and unorganized. While some chapters were about 2 sentences, others reached up to over 20 pages.
I thought there was a lot of animals without names, and the intro of the book was very useless in terms of the main plot. The only thing the beginning gave was why Pi got his name and what the zoo meant to his family. What do you think, Richard Parker? Was this a good book?
Rawr.
Very good input.
All right, excellent. So there we have our first two that are on, and I understand we have another group to kind of take over next. So we're going to do that here as we continue hearing about the book club podcast here at St. Henry. We'll just take a break, and we're going to get a couple more people in to share with us kind of their input on the book club. And so we're going to do that right now. I'll just share with us, your names and kind of just go right into it.
Right. So these kids read The Sun is Also a Star by, who wrote the book, guys?
Nicola Yoon.
And we have
Emma Brunswick,
Stella Hewer,
Faith Horseman,
Macy Onhick.
And the podcast is called
Between Suns and Stars Podcast.
Outstanding. We can't wait to hear. Please go ahead.
Welcome to the
Between Suns and Stars Podcast.
Today, we are talking about the novel The Sun is Also a Star by Nicola Yoon.
This is a young adult romance novel, and our group has some exciting insights and opinions to share about it.
We'll discuss the book's themes, characters, writing style, and whether or not we recommend it to you. So let's dive in.
The Sun is Also a Star tells a story about Natasha and Daniel in the city of New York.
Natasha faces her biggest challenge to save her family from being deported, and Daniel is on his way to a Yale interview that could determine the rest of his life.
This story is set in the chaotic streets of New York City. Over the course of one critical day, connecting the lives of two very different teenagers, they face challenges in unexpected ways that will change their lives forever.
While we won't give away the ending, we'll touch on some key themes and moments later in the episode.
Let's start with the themes.
One theme of The Sun is Also a Star was that fate will bring you together. In the book, Natasha and Daniel got separated, but then 10 years later, they saw each other on a plane. And started to be together again.
I agree. Another theme for this book is to succeed in what you want to do with your life, no matter what others think. Daniel's father really wants him to go into the medical field, but his dream is to be a poet. Daniel skips his college interview to spend time with Natasha. While spending time with her, Daniel shares his poetry with her, connecting the relationship more.
Now let's talk about the characters. Natasha really stood out to me because she was trying her hardest to make sure her family did not go back to Jamaica so they could stay in the United States.
I felt connected to Natasha. I mean, come on, Daniel. Sounds pretty dumb when he goes and we belong together forever and kissy faces and whatever. So I get what she's saying.
Daniel stood out to me because he started the relationship between him and Natasha. He believed in love and fate, and because of that, Natasha eventually loved him back.
The book says that Natasha kept saying that she didn't love him yet, but makes efforts to see him, and it's pretty clear that she does.
How about the writing style? I personally thought the author of this first-person perspectives, Natasha and Daniel, scattered with some omniscient third-person chapters for scientific context, and that was what really helped me understand more what they were, like, talking about. What about you guys?
The writing style was first-person, but then had third-person chapters that explained what was happening.
Yes, that is what I was thinking too. The main perspective is first person, but there were some third person omniscient sections that explain the relationship, which in my opinion makes the book better to understand. Let's get personal. What did you all like and dislike about the book? I really liked how the author set up the book. The book uses first person perspectives from main characters with occasional third person chapters that provide extra information related to the topics that the characters discuss. Although I thought it was kind of unrealistic that everything they did was with a span of one day.
I liked how the author had the perspectives of each character. It helped the book come together with their thoughts and feelings,
and which was alternated between each character throughout the big events. It helped each other stick out in their own way.
I really liked how it all connected at the end and how the author had it at the end. She had them both on the same airplane, and they ended up starting to talk again. I also liked how it was mostly first person with a few third person that helped the book all come together.
I agree with all of you. I do think, however, that it was a little silly how Natasha got so worked up over a silly saying when Daniel said something about fate. And I do agree with him, but I mean, maybe it was a little cringy when she got like a massive ick, and I mean massive, but oh well, we may never know unless you read the book for yourself.
Do we all agree on that, or are there different opinions?
I think that fate was what brought them together. It wasn't just a silly little thing. In the book, fate spoke deeply with Natasha, giving a passionate contrast to the trauma of her past.
For a fun twist, we've created some questions for one of our hosts. Our host, Faith, will answer questions of her opinions that are inspired by Daniel's love of poetry and big questions.
Here is your first question. Do you think every moment, even the bad ones, happens for a reason, or do you wish for a do-over card in life?
Everything happens for a reason, whether you were being dumb or smart. In Daniel's case, it worked out. But that's probably it, just one lucky butt who got the pretty girl.
Do you believe in love at first sight or love at second sight, as Daniel describes?
Second sight, and only because if it happens to see someone who looks attractive, I'm not going to go, oh, I'm in love. No, the first thing that will go through my mind is, what if they went to jail and they are a terrible person? I need to get to know them, not just go off and marry them. Terrible. And if I do, Macy, make sure you stop me.
What is your most treasured love memory? And does that memory value change over time?
Okay, so my dog and I were like sitting on the back patio being all cute and stuff, and she went up and licked me on the cheek, and to me that made me feel very connected to my dog, and yes, the way I value the memory does change over time. I only become more and more in love with her each day.
Before we wrap up, let's decide. Do we recommend The Sun Is Also a Star? Why or why not?
I totally recommend this novel because it's a heartwarming story. But if you aren't a fan of romance, the story might not be your favorite. Still, if you enjoy deep personal stories, you may connect with it really well.
I would recommend this book to teens and adults that like romance novels. This book gives you the feeling that you wouldn't get with any other book.
Well, thanks for tuning in to
Between Suns and Stars podcast.
If you've read The Sun Is Also a Star, let us know your thoughts. Until next time, happy reading.
Excellent. Good job, ladies. Very, very good job. Now, we're going to take a moment here and switch over because we have four more students.
We have one more.
One more group.
Podcast. And this one, we're changing genres a little bit. These girls read a historical fiction book, and it's actually about Romania in the 1980s. So it's called I Must Betray You by Ruta Sepetys. And we have...
Nora Kadanier.
And Lena Morris.
All right, go right ahead.
Okay.
It's Lena.
It's Nora.
And welcome back to another episode of the Whispers of Betrayal podcast.
Today we're talking about the book I Must Betray You by Ruta Sepetys.
This book is historical fiction, and our group has some exciting insights and opinions to share.
We'll discuss the book's themes, characters, writing style, and whether or not we recommend it to you, so let's dive in.
I Must Betray You tells the story of a young 17-year-old boy named Christian who lived in Romania during the oppressive hardship of his leader who was blackmailed into becoming an informer for the secret police. As time went on, the political tensions kept rising to the point where the people of Romania decided it was time to do something.
The book takes us through Romania in 1989 and the history of how the country turned against the society and how they wanted the truth to be told about what was happening behind the walls.
While we won't give away the ending, we'll touch on some...
And so we welcome you once again to Back to School from St. Henry. Thank you to Tom's Construction, Shockman Lumber Carriage Works, and Bender Electric. And we're going to talk with members of the 8th grade student council. They've been brought here by Mrs. Reinhardt and Mrs. Reisner. We're going to meet Reed Moeller, Jack Wastey, Bennett Layfeld, and Zayden Hartke. And so we're going to begin in no particular order. Share with us your name and what it is you enjoy about student council.
My name is Reed Moeller, and I really enjoy all the fun activities we get to do and create for all our students
here. And what are some of those that you get to do?
We get to do the Halloween extravaganza, where you dress up in Halloween and you just do a lot of fun activities with your schoolmates. We do the Winterfest, which is actually tomorrow at 7:30 to 8:30. You got to wear neon, and it's $3 to enter. 5th through 8th grade.
There you go. You know, it's interesting that you're going to do the Winterfest now because all the snow just went away.
Yeah.
Not that that's a bad thing, right?
Yeah.
Excellent. And so is this your first involvement in student council?
This is actually my first year for student council.
All right. What made you want to get into it?
Just to help the school, pretty much. I think it's fun to get involved with that.
All right. Excellent. Let's talk to our next person, if you will. And that moves, by the way. We'll help you out there. There you go. We don't want you to, twist yourself unnecessarily. Share with us your name.
Jack Wasey, and what I enjoy about student council is working with my friends and classmates to just make the school a better place.
Excellent. And so what are some of the highlights of the experience for you?
I like field day because it's like the last day of school. It's fun. Because all the school gets to go out there, you get to hang out with your friends and work as teams just to try to win the games and have fun.
Excellent. All right. And, and for you, being in 8th grade, like kind of what's next for you? What would you like to do someday? Have you thought about a career someday?
I would like to go into like an engineering field. I like working with robots also. I think that's fun.
Sounds like, and there's a lot of opportunity to do that in school these days, right? Robotics and what have you. Excellent. All right. Let's meet a couple other students here. Share with us your name and what you do with this.
I'm Bennett Layfeld, and the thing that I enjoy helping out with student council is the Halloween extravaganza, and on Christmas activity days, we work together, work concessions, and just put up a bunch of fun games for everyone to play.
Let's also maybe get a little more into like what's going on tomorrow night, when and where, so people know, right?
Yeah. Tomorrow night we're having the Winterfest event, and it's in the St. Henry High School Commons from 7:30 to 8:30, wear neon.
Sounds like that's going to be seven. Fun. Yeah, seven. And for you, have you thought about what you might want to do someday for a career?
I have thought being an entrepreneur, kind of thought about that. Something that I've been interested in.
Excellent. That sounds like that'll be fun. And let's meet you.
I'm Zayden Harkey, and the reason I like being with student council is because I have a say in like what our school is doing.
All right. And what are kind of some examples of that where you look back and realize you kind of helped make that happen?
Like organizing like all these events and field day and stuff, and probably the talent show is the best one because we kind of run the whole thing.
Outstanding. What kind of made you want to get into the student council?
Just pretty much having a say, like being part of our school and leading others.
And for you, what might you want to do someday as a career?
I don't really know, like something with animals. I like, how they live and act and stuff.
Sometimes they're a lot more fun to be with than people, aren't they?
Yes, yes.
They certainly can. I didn't ask you that question. Have you thought about a career someday?
I'm thinking also about engineering.
Engineering,
probably
okay.
In the mechanical field.
Are you one of those young folks likes to build things in your spare time?
Yeah, I definitely like building stuff.
What's some of the stuff you've done?
I've built like robots, like car robots. I've built a actual robot, like a moving robot. Those are a lot of projects I do.
Yeah, and do any of them help around the house? Do they fold clothes, sweep the floor, anything like that?
No.
I'll tell you what, when we grew up, we had a cartoon that had Rosie, the house cleaner. That's what we really want someday. Maybe someday you'll develop something that will clean the house, and gosh, you'll be so wealthy, good luck. All right, I want to thank all of you for coming. I know your teachers kind of thought we were going to skip by them, but we want to have a word with them too, give them a chance to just talk a little bit. I know if there's one thing that they can't wait to do, it would be to extol the virtues of their students. So let's, I want to make sure that we get this, you know, right here. You know, and you are Mrs.
Reisner.
Reisner. And so let's, you know, talk with you a little bit. What do you enjoy so much about student council? These are very impressive students you got here.
Yeah, it's just, it's great to work with kids and have them see the bigger picture in school. We raised over $3,000 for Tis the Season this year. And we promote it by offering, we offered all the male teachers to do a tortilla challenge, which was extremely comical. And the kids wanted to see it happen. But St. Henry Community just always delivers.
What is Tis the Season? Is that like a local?
It is a local fundraiser to help out families in this area with Christmas.
Excellent. How did that tortilla challenge work?
It was great. Mr. Kunk had to go against, like, our principal went against some of the male teachers. We had basically a 6-person tournament, and Mr. Bruns won, maybe, I think. Yeah, it was great. They had to fill their mouths with water and hit each other, and it was wonderful.
That
to
does
watch.
Sound fun. Yes, yeah. I bet it was. You know, and you know, and you know, I think also for you, Mrs. Reinhardt, talk about this a little bit. You know, the student council and being a part of it. What is so great about it and gratifying? You know, for you and the students.
I know that there's a lot of things that St. Henry offers, but a lot of things are very sports oriented as well. So student council gives a place for some of the kids that maybe are interested in sports or interested in other things and being a leader, and it gives them a place to go and belong and to organize things and be a leader at their school.
Yeah, that's a good point. I mean, sometimes there are people who really do love sports, but they're not necessarily blessed with that talent, right? Not everybody can bounce a ball, kick a ball, throw a ball, hit a ball, you know, and that doesn't mean that you don't matter. You're just going to do other things, right?
Right.
Excellent. How long have you been now with St. Henry? Where are you from originally? What kind of got you into education?
I have been with St. Henry 12 years. I think this is my 13th year. I actually started at Bradford in, like, Miami County for 5 years. I live in the Fort Recovery District right now, so.
And where are you from originally?
Mississinewa Valley is where I graduated.
Very nice. Okay. That's really neat. What made you want to do education?
Actually, you know what? My mom was a teacher, and yes. I have always wanted to be a teacher, and I have always been told, go try to find something else. Go try to find something that will make you wealthy and that will make you. And as hard as I tried, I loved teaching. I love kids. I love. And so here I am with teaching.
And you know what? I would not say that you're not wealthy. You seem very wealthy, if you know what I mean.
Yes,
right?
I totally am very, very blessed.
You know, that's just, and I'm sure something young people can take that from. You got to do something you love that kind of warms your heart. You don't, you know, if you make a lot of money, but you hate every day, I mean, that's no way to live, right?
That's right. That's right. We have great kids here at St. Henry. It's great school, great kids, great community. So I do feel very blessed.
How about for you? Can you share with us a bit about where you came from originally and how you got to this point in life?
I was born and raised in St. Henry. I graduated in 2000 here from St. Henry. And so my brother's actually our superintendent now.
How about that?
Yeah, he's my little brother.
You must be so proud, though.
Oh, yes, yes. It's been awesome.
And you know, the two of you, I mean, far from the only alumni that are teaching, right? We see that a lot in the school districts, but that's pretty neat, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah. My mom actually used to be the secretary here. So.
How about that?
Yeah.
So when we look back on it, what else could you do, right? You
right.
had to be a teacher. What is it that you enjoy so much about teaching?
I've always wanted to be a teacher since I was little, so I never really looked any other direction. I babysat growing up all the time. I've always enjoyed it, and then I found a way that I feel is very effective in teaching, and I just feel like I'm really good at it.
And you said you were the class of 2000.
Mm-hmm.
So you really, you know, as you graduated, you probably realized you missed the new building, right, only by a couple years.
Mm-hmm.
But
yep.
On the other hand, now you get to experience it, right?
Right. I actually teach in the old choir room.
Nice.
So, yeah, it's soundproof. It's beautiful.
How time goes by, because I can remember when it was the new building, right? Was that 24 years ago now, right? How's that happen,
no
right? It's amazing how time how time goes by. So for that, that's pretty neat though to hear about like an education family mm-hmm. like you have. You mentioned your mom, your brother, you, anyone else?
Not in education. No, okay. My sister's a nurse, and my brother sells insurance, and the other one works with. I don't really know for sure. He sells. I don't know what he does. He got a great job though.
Okay,
I do know that.
Go. That's all you need to know. That's kind of like what we were talking about, though. How important it is to love what you do. Mm-hmm. You know, and how you really, you know, want to be able to wake up in the morning excited to go to work and happy with what you do. You know.
Yes.
That's what that's all about. In your time too, have any kind of former, you know, students ever bumped into you somewhere or sent you an email and said, "Hey, do you remember me? This is what I'm doing now."
All the time, people come up to me and go, "Do you remember me?" And I'm always like, "Please don't ask me your name. Please don't ask," because I forget yes. the moment they leave fifth grade. I have no idea how old you are now. Right. And I don't always remember your name, but I recognize them usually. Yes.
Yeah, you have to kind of for everybody that you know kind of bumps into you, they need to understand they you saw them in fifth grade. Now they're 29 years old or whatever, right? I mean, you gotta we change a little as we get older,
a little bit,
right?
Yeah.
Just a tad. So, how about for you? Have you had that where you kind of bump into former students?
So one of the most recent times I can tell you about is that my dad is a farmer, and my husband and my brother farming together. And there was one night that it was my turn to bring the farmers the meal, and it's in this field. I cannot even tell you where, but some field out in the middle of nowhere. And I'm bringing them their dinner, and they were broke down. So someone